house. And I want to preach on cluttering our house and cleaning our house. Someone was talking about looking at a house and it was clean, but it just had a lot of, they just had a lot of things that they just kept and kept and kept and kept. And those things are good for a while. I always have this idea that someday, somewhere, I'll use that thing. Somewhere I'll need that thing. And that does come true sometimes. Then sometimes I just move it from one place to another. But anyway, open your Bibles if you would, if you found those places. Look with me if you would in chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians. I want to read one verse. Then I want to go to the book of Colossians. And I want to share just a few verses there. Verse 17, very familiar verse, says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Look, if you would, in Colossians chapter 3. Paul's trying to remind the church at Colossae that they are different creatures. There's something different about them than with the world. He says in verse number 1, if. Now this is not a question if, it's a declaration. Since you are, and he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, or since you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth upon the right hand of God. Now seek, the word seek means to continually seeking. Don't quit. From the time that you begin to seek, once you get saved, you begin to seek those things, continue to seek. Amanda sung that song about the land above the sky. Well, we begin to seek things up there instead of things down here all the time. We'll get back to that in a moment. Look in verse number 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead in Christ, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, those few verses there, I'm going to emphasize this morning, but I want to read a few more. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuousness, which is adultery, for which things say the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye are also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off, notice that little phrase, put off, all these, anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy communication out of your mouth, lying off one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now notice that. Put off the old man with his deeds. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. In other words, we have a new man when we get saved, and it is renewed day by day by the renewing of our mind. We begin to think different. God begins to change the way we look at things, the way we think about things, the way we feel about things. Look in verse number 11.
Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all.
Put on.
And notice a while ago, verse number 8.
He was telling you put it off. Now he's telling you put these things on. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, you need to stop a moment. You need to think about what he's saying. If you're saved, and you say, preacher, I'm having a hard time forgiving someone, stop a minute and think about what God has forgiven you for. And think what he continues to forgive you for. It ought to make you look differently upon it. Look at verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectionness. The charity means brotherly love. And let peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and
spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Now let me say something about singing. People say, preacher, you like singing. I love singing. But I don't like one type of singing. Number one, I don't like singing where the music is so loud I don't hear none of the words. Because I believe in singing, if you really enjoy singing, the words has to be true to this book. And what happens is, when you hear a truth being sung, then it stirs your spirit to praise the Lord. Or it stirs your spirit to think about things. When someone sings about heaven, you singing about the land beyond the sky. Well, it stirred me because I know everything in the book that talks about things that's waiting on me on the other side. And you know what? I don't have to worry, like old John Rice said one time, Preacher Rice, he said, don't threaten me with heaven. You don't have to be threatened with heaven. Going to a place where no more pain, no more sorrow, no more parting. Amen? Don't have to be threatened with that. But now look on, if you would. And notice here that songs ought to be something that is true and coordinate with the Word of God. They ought to stir you. They ought to help you. And by the way, singing is very important, I think, in the praise and worship of God. Amen. But it's got to be the right type of singing. Amen. And I don't think we ought to conform our singing to the rock and roll world. I don't think that we have to conform to the world to draw crowds. If we're drawing those crowds by that way, we're conforming to the wrong thing.
Amen.
What we do is we have songs that exalt Christ. Amen? And those are songs that ought to move us. Look in verse, sometimes Caleb back there, he comes up here and plays some melodies on the guitar. And I love to hear him play those. But when he's playing, though, it's not the music that I'm hearing. I'm hearing the words that goes with the music that stirs my heart. Think about that song and the truth behind that song. Look, if you would, and verse number 17. And whatsoever ye do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, look back in your Bibles a moment in chapter 3, in verse number 1, and I want you to focus upon this one word for just a moment. If ye then be risen
with Christ.
Now, we know that Christ rose from the dead, right?
Amen.
Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Now, the thought that Paul wants is this. This world, regardless of what you think about it, the Bible declares that this world is a wicked place. The Bible tells us that this world is enmity with God. The Bible tells us that this world is an enemy of God. And therefore, it's an enemy of us. The Bible tells us that if we love the world, the love of the Father can't be in us. And so because he tells us why it's so foolish to love the world. Because the things of the world are going to pass away. They're going to perish. And so therefore, I knew one guy, and they wanted me to come to his funeral one time, and I didn't want to go. He was a very rich man. He was a rich man that was lost. Everything upon his mind was making money. All he wanted was more money. He did everything he could to make money. He destroyed a lot of lives making money. And I knew, and they wanted me to come to his funeral. I said, I don't want to go. They said, why? I said, because you're going to sit there, and you're going to lift this guy up. You're going to praise him, and you're going to set him on a pedestal. And everything he worked for, he was a fool. Everything he worked for is going to be left down here for somebody else, and now he's going to die and go to hell because all his attention was in things of the world. He was a fool. When the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12 looked around and he thought he retired, he said, I believe I'll tear my old barns down, build new barns, and I'll just eat, drink, and be merry the rest of my life. God said, thou fool. Why was he a fool? He said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, because he sold his whole self out to this world. Now, notice here what Paul's getting across. I want you to get this truth. Paul's saying, if we then be risen with Christ, the word risen means to be roused up, to be raised up out of the rudiments. In other words, what he's teaching is that this evil present world, that what is different about those who are saved is this. We have been risen up out of the rudiments of this world. In other words, we're not going to perish like this world. We have been raised up out of it, and because of our faith and trust in Christ, we are now sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Look back in your Bible a moment. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth upon the right hand of God. In other words, there's nothing wrong with temporal things as long as we don't start having our heart to sell out for the temporal things. Because what happens is this. Everything you've got, Job had it right when he said, naked came I into the world, and naked shall I go. You're not going to take nothing with you. You're going to leave it all here. So everything down here you've got, it's going to be useless when it comes time to go. And so if your whole life has been on things here, you've wasted your life. So Paul's saying, since you have been saved, since Jesus is risen, he has risen you out, and you have been risen above the things of the world. Therefore, you don't have to look at these things like everybody else looks at them. Your whole hope, your whole life, your whole ambition is not in this world. It's in things above. In other words, what happens when you become saved is this. I believe in eternal security. I don't apologize for that. I believe the Bible definitely teaches that when a person gets saved, he has eternal life, he has everlasting life, and there is no exceptions, buts, ifs, and less. But from that point on, what happens is we begin to do works for God. And our works can either be profitable or they can be unprofitable. They can either be good or they can be bad. If you don't believe they can be bad, all you have to do is look in 2 Corinthians 5:10 and also 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15, and you'll find that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we should give account of those things which are done in this life, whether they be good or whether they be bad or evil. Amen? But the Bible says that some people's works are going to be burnt. They're going to suffer loss. But they will be saved, yet so by fire. What that means is, you're not going to go to hell. But after you got saved, what you did didn't amount to anything for the glory of God. You had all your minds down here, and you were too carnal as a Christian instead of being spiritual and realizing that you've been raised above this world, and this world is not your home. Amen? Now, look back just a moment. Stay with me. And notice here, if you would, he says on down, he says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. In other words, don't let those things have your heart. Look in verse number 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. There are some things that you become dead to. And what God wants out of us when we are saved, he wants us to understand that when we were of the world, and by the way, each and every one of us who have been saved, we've been exactly where the world is. As Brother Eric was talking about, there was a time in his life he had no fear of God because he wasn't saved. And same way with us. Look, keep your finger there a moment and flip back, if you would, to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, he reminds us that we were just like the world was at one time. Notice, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 2, and begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God. If it wasn't for God, we'd still be there. But I want you to understand something. What he's saying is, every one of us, some given time in our past, when we were lost, we were just like the world. Well, all we thought about was things of the world. We didn't have our mind upon things above. We only had it on things of the world. But he says, now you have been risen above that. Now you sit in heavenly places with Christ. Now you are secure in Christ. Now you have to set your affections on things above, not on things below. He says, those things that you were was the old man. Remember your old man? How many of us, I won't have you hold your hand up, but how many of you in your old man, Eric gave an example of a guy who was passing out tracts. What was he in the old man? He was a murderer. He murdered some people. He killed people. But God saved him, and what happened is, after he saved him, he wanted to reach others to see that they got saved. The murderer was the old man. Now he had a new man. In the old life, I'm sure his mind would have been anywhere other than somewhere passing out tracts to people wanting to see him get saved and tell them about Jesus. But now he has a new man. And so what Paul's trying to get across to us is this. You've got to understand that old man was the old man in the world of the world that you've been lifted up out of. You've been roused out of it. You've been set in another place. You've got a different affection. You've got a new person. There's been some deposits made in you that has changed you forever. One is you have now a divine nature. Before you got saved, all you had was Adam's nature. What was Adam's nature? A sinful nature. In you dwelleth no good thing. In you was a sinful nature. It was your nature to sin because that's who you are. But now God has put a divine nature in you. So he's trying to get you to understand there are some things that you need to leave and take off and leave off. In other words, the illustration I used starting the message out, you've got a lot of junk that you accumulated back in the old man that you don't need now. And you need to get rid of some of it. This junk that you have is junk that just destroys and pulls down the old man. Let's look at some things here that he warns us about. Turn back in your Bible, chapter 2, just a moment, real quickly. In verse number 8, he says, beware. Beware lest any man should spoil you. The word spoil means take you captive. Should spoil you through what? Philosophy. And by the way, can I say this? Our kids are being taken captive in our schools through philosophy. Amen. Philosophy is the teachings of men that is contrary to the Word of God.
Amen.
In other words, the theory of evolution. I don't have to question. Somebody said, do you believe in the theory of evolution? No. Why? It's not taught in the Bible. Someone asked us yesterday, said, do you believe in incarnation? No. Why? It's not taught in the Bible. So I don't have to worry about those things. Do I have to worry about UFOs? No. It's not taught in the Bible. You say, well, I believe. It doesn't matter what you believe. Somebody said, well, they're now doing this theory on this race stuff in schools. And it's a theory. It's philosophies. And so therefore, what we have to do is we have to stay away from those things, because what they will do is they will keep you captive to the old man. Anytime you're reading and studying something that is contrary to the Word of God, you put it away. Put it out of your mind. Look on. He says, not only that, beware lest any man should spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Vain deceit is empty little tricks that he uses to deceive you. Look on. And after tradition of men. Now stay with me a minute. Some people say, well, preacher, we've done this all our life. That don't make it right. Well, my grandpa did. That don't make it right. Just because it's a tradition of men don't mean that it's right. It's got to be according to the Word of God. Some of these traditions of men keeps you grounded in the old man. And so therefore, you got to get away from those things. And next he says, rudiments of the world. In other words, things that contrast the Bible. But look on, if you would. He goes on, and he tells us that the foolish is what demands that. Look in verse 16. He says, let no man therefore judge you in meat, drink, or in respect of holy day, or new moon, or Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. There's a lot of people said, well, we don't agree with what you're doing as a Christian. Well, I didn't agree with you either when I was the old man. But now I'm the new man. I look at it differently. There's different things that's guiding me. Well, we don't understand why you all do that. Well, you probably won't until you get saved. You don't understand what the fear of God is until you get saved. You don't understand the importance of church until you get saved. And by the way, I still scratch my head with some people that just don't seem to have any concern about church. Church is important. Look on. And so therefore, we are different, and we need to put away certain deeds. Now, certain deeds will destroy us. Look back, if you would, again, verse number 5 of chapter 3. It says, mortify or kill or make dead, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication. In other words, sexual activity outside of marriage. Somebody said, Well, preacher, we like to make sure that we're compatible before we get married. That's not taught in the Bible. That's not of God. That's the world's way of thinking about things. Uncleanness. Now, the uncleanness means impurities through your thoughts, through your emotions, and so forth. Then inordinate affections. Now, inordinate affections there, It means passions, having all these lusts, things that are off limits to you. Those are things that you begin to think about and you begin to weigh out in your mind. Evil conspicuance. Now, there again, it's just these desires for forbidden. It doesn't mean that you're acting physically upon them, but you're thinking about them. Those things are things of the old man that you got to learn to put off. Covetousness, again, as was covered. And that's the desire to have more and so forth. But look in verse number 8. He goes further. But now ye also put off all these. Anger. Anger is having deep bitterness. Did you ever see people who claim to be saved angry all the time? Something's wrong with those people. If anybody ought to be happy, it ought to be those of us who's been lifted up out of this old world, and we got our heads and our minds and our thoughts in much higher places. Look on. wrath. Now, wrath is anger that boils over. It spills over. One of these days, God's wrath is going to pour out upon people. No, that malice. Malice is anger that's mixed with a desire to damage somebody. You want to hurt somebody because you're angry with them. Look on. Blaspheming. That's to slander. That's to insult, belittle someone. Filthy communication, abusive speech. Lying. We know where the lying comes from. It comes from the devil himself. In verse number 9. So therefore, what he's trying to tell us is this. There are some things, because you have been lifted up out of, you need to put off. Then there's some things that you need to put on. Now, some of those things that we put on, we just saw a minute ago, some of those things were things like forgiving, being willing to forgive one another. The fact that we have fruits of the Spirit of God that manifest themselves in our lives. Now, look back real quick, if you would, in verse number 3 and 4, and notice this. The reason why we've been lifted out is we have a salvation. Number one, that salvation is universal. Anyone can come and be saved. Amen. Whosoever will, let them come. You agree with that? Amen. And all that, our salvation is assured. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Could be saved. Might be saved. Possibly might be saved. It's assured if you come. Now, and by the way, when it talks about those who are risen up, it's not those who had some religious experience. It's those who's had a transformation of salvation in their life. They now possess a divine nature. They now possess a new spirit that's been made alive that now combats the flesh. And now they also have the Holy Spirit of God living within them. And that his spirit witnesses with their spirit. They have been lifted up. They've been made a new creature. But now notice here a moment that this salvation, as Brother Eric said, was immediate. It's not something that you work yourself into. There's a time and place when you surrender your will unto God. God's will is that you would be saved. Your will resists God's will, and until you submit your will and it comes in repentance toward God and faith in Christ Jesus, and the moment that you do that, you will find salvation is immediate in your life. And it is also effective and it's complete. Look, if you would, in Colossians 2. In Colossians 2 and verse 10. Notice the Bible says that ye are what? Complete in him. Somebody said, preacher, I need to do this to continue my salvation. Your salvation is complete in Christ Jesus. Now, you got to work out your own salvation. That's not salvation of your souls. That's the salvation of the fact of your life of being a Christian. You got to work those things out. You got to learn to put these things off that was of the old world where you was brought up out of, and you need to put some things on and get your mind in the right places. Stay with me a minute more. Notice a couple of things about our position, why we ought to be joyful. Look, if you would, in John chapter 10. Follow with me a couple of verses real quickly. John chapter 10, verse 28. Real quickly. John 10, 28. And I give unto them what? And they shall what? And they shall what? Never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Somebody say, well, preacher, that means exactly what it says. And you know what that means? I am safe, secure, and saved from my old enemy. The old enemy, devil, was one, he had my soul. I was a child of the wrath. I've now been lifted up and risen out of that thing. And now he comes, he's my tempter, he's my slanderer, but he'll never have my soul. It's secure. He can mess with my mind, but he can't rob me of my soul. I have been saved, gloriously saved. Amen? Now, so therefore I'm safe from my enemies. Not only that, look if you would in Jude, verse 24, real quickly, Jude 24. Look in Jude, verse 24. I got too much clutter of papers in my Bible. Now unto him that is what? Able to keep you from what? To present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. From the moment you get saved, God begins to work on you to make you more conformed to the image of his son. Now, you may say, well, preacher, we fail sometimes as Christians. Yes, we do in that sense. Sometimes we stumble. Sometimes we fall. Sometimes we commit a sin unto death. Sometimes we get chastened of God. As a matter of fact, we all get chastened of God. But God has a plan for us, and he will not only are you safe from your enemies, you are secure from failure. I may fail in some things I do here, but praise God, I'm going that way. I'm on that way. I am already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am saved. Amen? So therefore, nothing's going to prevent me. One of these days, I will have a glorified body. I may make a mess of some things down here, but when God is finished with me, I will be just like Jesus. When I see him, I'll be like in him with a glorified body. I'll have no sin. Isn't that a glorious thought? No death, nothing anymore. Christ gives us our life. Look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 5, real quickly. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, notice if you would, in verse number 11. And this is a record that God had given to us what?
1 John chapter 5,
verse 11. Eternal life, and this life is it, is what? In his son. And he that hath the son hath what? And he that hath not the son of God hath not life. Now there are some things we are to be dead to, but there also we have now eternal life. We've been born again. And so therefore, if you have the son, you have life. If you have not the son, you have not life. Turn back, if you would, once more, if you would, to Colossians, and I'm going to close right there. In Colossians chapter number 3. So therefore we have life through Christ Jesus. And notice what he says here in Colossians chapter 3. He says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's why no one can affect my life. It's hid with God, Christ in God. Look in verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. So first of all, I want you to know something. He promised us something. You know what? He's coming back. And when he shall appear, we shall go be with him. Remember what he told his disciples? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So therefore, we have his promise. We have the fact that he is coming personally. And look on, last part of that. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye what? Also appear with him where? Folks, I told Brother Porter sometime, I said, he's just trying to recover from a long illness. And I said, you feel like singing? I said, sometime I want you to sing that old song, Wayfaring Stranger. You know why I like that song? Because this is not my home. My home's there. So if this is not my home, why should all my attention be here? That's where the old man was. I now have things to look forward to there. And so therefore, the new man needs to be looking up there, and I need to be putting some things on the new man and putting some things off the old man. I need to be cluttering up or getting rid of that clutter that I don't need. I mean, when I was cleaning up down there, I found a waffle maker. Big, heavy waffle maker, covered with rust. It's not even worth throwing in garbage. I thought, all this time it's been taking space up in my basement. Then I found another old skillet. Not worth a nickel. I found flowers and flowers and flowers. And I found all kinds of things. And I got thinking, I'm cluttering all this space with stuff that is useless. Now listen to me, folks. We're cluttering our Christian lives full of stuff that is useless. And you know why we don't have smiles on our face, why we're not singing psalms to God, why we don't have a joy in our heart? Because we haven't cast our affection on things above. We're not seeking those things. And we need to get rid of our clutter. And we need to start living our life in a new man where it makes us a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. Amen. Let's stand. Maybe you're here this morning as we get song of invitation. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. Listen to me. Everybody here who is not saved, you are in the same place that many of us was when we were. Every one of us has been where you are. But somewhere in our life, God has come and he's drawn us by the Holy Spirit of God. We stepped out and responded to Christ. And we called upon him to save our soul. And from that moment on, God has done a transformation. We've been lifted up out of this old world, and we've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. We have different affections, different desires, different destinies, all those things because of what Christ has done. Maybe this morning God is drawing your heart to come to be saved. You need to step out. Maybe you are saved. Maybe you've got your life cluttered and you need to come and say, God, help me to clean house. Some of this stuff that's taking my attention, some of this stuff that's taking room, some of this stuff that's just keeping me tied to this old man, let me get some of this out. Maybe you need to come as we sing, Brother Porter.